Welcome to the Hoopsite Podcast. My name is Alex Kennedy. Before we get into today's episode, I want to share a little announcement. This weekend is the All-Star break, and we will be in Chicago interviewing a bunch of past and present NBA stars. We're going to be posting more episodes than usual over the next week, so make sure you're subscribed to the Hoopsite Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, I'm joined by Josh Martin, who is the editorial director for Close Up 360 and co-host of the Hollywood Hoops Podcast. You can follow Josh on Twitter at JoshMartinNBA. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for All-Star, and I wanted to have you on today because several of the NBA teams based in California are making headlines. We're going to get into the Lakers, Clippers, and Warriors and where each of those teams are going from here. They're obviously in your backyard. You know a lot about these teams. As I mentioned, you have the Hollywood Hoops podcast. So let's start with the Clippers. They acquired Marcus Morris prior to last week's NBA trade deadline, a move that Ben Golliver and I discussed a lot in our trade deadline recap episode. As I said on that episode, I feel like Morris is a perfect fit for the Clippers in their culture with his two-way play, versatility, and toughness. How much better do you think this makes the Clippers?
I think it makes them incrementally better. I think when you compare him to the player who he's essentially replacing in Mo Harkless, you know, they're similar in a lot of ways, but I think obviously Marcus Morris is much more of a threat. He's someone who opposing teams are going to be much more scared of. And while he might not have the same, I guess, quickness and versatility defensively as far as really getting out on the perimeter against smaller guys, he has the size where he can be a small ball five, which is very valuable for the Clippers when you think about what their closing lineup could be with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and now Marcus Morris in there. You have five guys who can all put the ball in the hole, five guys who can shoot, five guys who are all threats to do multiple things on the floor at any given time. That's going to be a nightmare for opposing defenses to deal with. And on the other end, you know, you have Kawhi and Paul George, who are two great defenders, and Marcus Morris, who is certainly sturdy in that regard. He's always been one of, at least over the recent years, he's been one of the better 3-4 guards, or these guys guarding threes and fours in the league. I remember even going back a couple years ago, he was considered the LeBron stopper, at least statistically. So that's huge, especially if you're the Clippers, potentially eyeing a playoff series against the Lakers, who obviously feature LeBron James. I think it's a nice upgrade for them, and one that, you know, assuming that they're able to stay healthy and have their roster together for some actual games here down the stretch of this season, could really make them a favorite going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, they've been targeting Morris for a while. There were some reports that they tried to trade for him last year. We know over the offseason, they were kind of having some talks with Morris in his camp, and then when they didn't land him, and then he had the whole incident where he backed out of the deal with the Spurs, went to the Knicks. That's kind of whenever they moved on and got Mo Harkless, after the talks with Morris seemed to fall through. So it seems like this has been their guy for a while now. And yeah, I agree with you. I think he just fits in so well there. He was also shooting the ball very well this year from three, so he's kind of a perfect 3-and-D guy that fits in their culture to add in. One thing I did want to mention about this, though, Adrian Wojnarowski talked about this on his NBA trade deadline preview show on ESPN, but in addition to adding Morris, because he's a great fit and can obviously help them a lot, Clippers wanted to make sure that their rival, the Lakers, didn't add him. Woj talked about how the Clippers and Lakers are in an arms race, and both teams are coveting a lot of the same players. We saw that with Darren Collison and Andre Iguodala, too, and we'll get into the Collison situation here in a bit, but would you agree that this becomes somewhat of an arms race and that these teams will continue to battle over the same players in trades and in free agency going forward?
It's, I think, more of a battle, at least right now, in terms of free agency and buyout candidates. The Lakers didn't really have a realistic or easy path to making a big trade, or an impactful trade at least, at the trade deadline without totally blowing up their roster. Their best trade chip was Kyle Kuzma, but Kyle Kuzma is still on his rookie scale contract, which this year pays him a little under $2 million. So if you're trying to go out there and get an impact player like a Marcus Morris, who's making, you know, I think close to $15 million, then you're talking about having to combine Kyle's contract with, you know, maybe it's the contract of DeMarcus Cousins, who's out this season, or you're talking about Danny Green, and Danny Green is obviously an important part of what the Lakers do, especially as a three-point threat and someone who can defend opposing perimeter players. And as far as Marcus Morris is concerned, I don't see how he would have meaningfully affected or improved the Lakers to the extent that he is essentially a four. He's mostly a power forward, and the Lakers have a pretty great power forward in Anthony Davis, another guy on LeBron who is probably more of a four nowadays, and Kyle Kuzma, who's definitely more of a four than a three. So I don't think I see that as part of an arms race, but I think that'll be more going into this buyout market when you see players asking for buyouts from their teams to go and try to compete for a championship somewhere. A lot of them are going to be looking at LA, both LA teams, the Lakers and the Clippers. And I think those two teams are going to have some very interesting cases to make. And definitely be on the lookout on the Lakers case because they have an advantage potentially with the over the Clippers, not just in terms of, you know, them being the Lakers and having that brand, but they have an exception, a disabled player exception they got from DeMarcus Cousins that's worth $1.75 million. That's right, it's half of DeMarcus's salary, which if the Clippers wanted to go out and sign a guy off the buyout market to a minimum contract, it would be a prorated share of what the veteran's minimum would be. So that would probably be roughly $1 million. The Lakers, meanwhile, they can offer 1.75 right out the gate, no questions asked. So that might be an advantage in the Lakers' favor, but we'll see how it shakes out. We'll see how these guys who are going to be free agents evaluate the market and where they think they have the best chance to win at this point.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I do think every time we get to this point of the year and then we talk about the buyout market, you know, the teams that are contending, teams that are in great weather cities, teams that are in big markets, they typically have the advantage. And if you can offer playing time in addition to those other factors, usually you can land a guy. I know every year the Clippers and the Lakers, you know, they're kind of active when it comes to this time of year and are looking at different players who are bought out. So far, we've seen a few guys that have been bought out. But the big story, I think, over the last few days has been Darren Collison and what he was going to do. Now, he chose not to return to the NBA this season despite interest from the Lakers and Clippers, as well as the Nuggets and Sixers and other teams. It was somewhat shocking. I think a lot of people felt that he would play this year, and it was just a matter of him finding the right team to make a comeback with, but it sounds like Collison and his camp made it clear all along this was a possibility. I'm a big Collison fan, and I think he would have been an enormous addition for one of these contenders since he's basically a starting caliber point guard. But if I had to guess, I think we'll see Collison take the rest of this year off and then probably weigh a comeback in the offseason when he can sit down with these teams, when he can make more money because there'll be more money in free agency. But for a team like the Lakers that, as you mentioned, didn't really have a trade they could make and didn't really have an obvious way to improve, it seemed like Collison was going to be their big acquisition that could really help them. He obviously would fill a position of need for them because Rondo's been struggling a bit. How big of a letdown is this for the Lakers?
I mean, it's pretty significant when you factor in just the sort of the hype around the Darren Collison comeback. I know I'd been hearing for months as well that he was planning to come back. He was gearing up for it. And then, of course, the news comes that, well, he's not going to be coming back. And like you mentioned, he's going to make more money as a free agent. If he really wanted to come back, he could have done it last summer when he was still an active player and made probably eight figures a year with whichever team he wanted to play for. So I think now he'll probably go into the summer seeing what shapes up as far as who's got space and who's got a role on a championship contending team. It's a big blow for the Lakers because they could still really use a guard who can shoot, make plays, and play a little defense. And Darren Collison, in addition to being a really accurate three-point shooter, has been one of the better steal artists in the NBA throughout his career. I think he would have made a meaningful impact in that way, especially when you think about how reliant the Lakers are on forcing turnovers, getting out in transition, and finishing at the rim. They do it great, almost better than any other team in the league, but you know, when they have to operate in the half court and things slow down, they run into trouble in part because they don't have another guard who can dribble, pass, and shoot. They have, you know, a number of guys who can fill different roles. You know, Danny Green's a good shooter who can play some defense. Same for Avery Bradley, but you're not asking those guys to go out and make plays. Quinn Cook has been somewhat inconsistent for the Lakers this year. Alex Caruso is more of a defensive guy, not a great playmaker with the ball. And Rondo's been a bit sloppy this year, to say the least. So the Lakers are very much lacking in playmakers. I don't know exactly where they're going to find one at this point. And if they can't find one between now and the playoffs, that's going to put that much more of a burden on LeBron James to control things, which There are certainly worse scenarios than having to rely on LeBron generating offense for you, but you certainly don't want to wear him down going into the playoffs, and you don't want to totally use up everything he's got left once you get there.
Right, I agree with you too in terms of finding other options. With Collison no longer in the picture, the Lakers are reportedly moving on and showing interest in free agents J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters. Smith is apparently working out for the Lakers. Waiters just hit the open market after parting ways with the Memphis Grizzlies. Tyler Johnson is also out there. He was bought out, but I haven't seen anything connecting him with the Lakers just yet. Isaiah Thomas was waived by the Los Angeles Clippers after they acquired him in the Marcus Morris deal. Part of me wonders, did they waive Isaiah Thomas thinking that they could get Darren Collison, or was that just because Isaiah is at the stage in his career where, he's not super productive, he's had a lot of injuries. He was doing okay in Washington, but he's not exactly what the Clippers needed probably. So those are some of the names that are out there. Again, like you said though, there's no one on Collison's level who could step right in and be an immediate fix for the Lakers. But if you are the Lakers, would you target any of those guys?
I guess you kind of have to just to look at what is out there, who could potentially help you. I don't think if you're the Lakers, you're thrilled with your options. J.R. Smith, for one, is more or less has been out of practice since, early last season. He only played 11 games for the Cleveland Cavaliers last year before they essentially sat him down. So I guess he's got something left in the tank. He's played with LeBron. Of course, the last time we saw him playing with LeBron, it was in the 2018 NBA Finals, and he had that gaffe at the end of game one that cost the Cavs that game in a lot of ways. So we'll see where things stand with that. I guess he might be a decent option. Dion Waiters, he played with LeBron briefly earlier in LeBron's second tenure in Cleveland. So I guess we'll see what sort of rapport there is there. I know he had a lot of issues with the Miami Heat this season that led to him playing only three games in Miami and then ultimately getting traded. So with those two guys, you're talking about potentially adding in a volatile piece to a team that chemistry-wise has really been clicking all season long. I think Iman Shumpert's another guy who's been floating out there. There's been some scuttle about maybe Reggie Jackson gets bought out in Detroit. We'll see, but regardless, if you're the Lakers, you're looking at your options right now. And you really have to weigh it as is bringing in one of these guys going to be any better than what we have right now? And at the moment, there doesn't seem to be a resounding response in the affirmative.
When you talk about J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters, these are guys that have had off-court issues and they've, sometimes caused problems in the locker room. So if you're the Lakers, are you worried about those guys, or do you think, okay, we've had success with JaVale McGee? There was, the Nick Young tenure. They've been able to, turn those guys into contributors, and you have so many strong leaders in Los Angeles with LeBron James, Jason Kidd, Rajon Rondo, Anthony Davis even. Do you think that could help them when we're talking about these guys that maybe other teams wouldn't touch? Dwight Howard is an example too. There was a lot of talk about Dwight being a guy that could kill your team and be a team cancer, but he's had success there. Could the Lakers be more willing to take a chance on one of these guys because of their history of turning these reclamation projects and having success with them?
Potentially, but I think first they have to look at the skills that these guys would or wouldn't bring to the table. If they feel then that a player like Dion Waiters or J.R. Smith could meaningfully impact what they do on the court, then you look at what potential obstacles might you be facing off the court? How would you look to handle that? Look, the fact that LeBron James is on that team and he's played with both of those guys and he's trusted both of those guys to different extents in his career, I think he'll certainly have a lot to say with it. And I'm sure Rob Pelinka will pull him to the side and be like, "Hey, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of that guy?" LeBron is very much a source of knowledge on those players in particular, and on most of these guys who are popping onto the buyout market and the free agent market. So I think that certainly works in the Lakers' favor, at least as far as determining the extent to which each of these guys is worth going after. And then, as if they bring one in, actually putting that person in place to succeed from a basketball perspective, but also just from a team chemistry and locker room perspective.
For sure. If you're the Clippers, what are you looking for in the buyout market or even just the free agent market? I know earlier this season they worked out Trevor Booker, Amir Johnson's out there. I don't know if those guys are a great fit right now, but they talked about those guys. There are plenty of guys that are out there, but can anyone really help the Clippers right now? And do you see them making a move for one of these free agents or bought out players?
That's tough because that might require some maneuvering from a roster perspective. I think what's interesting for them would be potentially getting a more traditional pass-first point guard, someone who can at least set up guys like Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Lou Williams to go and get buckets, as opposed to those guys having to be playmakers first and foremost, because that's not really their MO. These are guys who are good at putting the ball in the hole. They can handle a little bit. They can pass to a certain extent, but by and large, you're not going to get the most out of Kawhi, PG, and Lou Will if those are the guys out there having to make plays for others. You want them putting the ball in the hole. So I think having someone who can share some of that burden would be super helpful. But from a front court perspective, I guess it would be nice for them if they could go out and get another big like an Amir Johnson, as you mentioned, someone who can fill in, just give them some size. But realistically, I think Ivica Zubac has been really solid for them on both ends of the floor this season. Jamichael Green can fill in there. And I think they're going to play a lot of small ball with Marcus Morris now. So I don't know how much the Clippers really need another big. Maybe it's someone who can come in and give you, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a game tops. But if that's the case, would you really feel compelled to go out and get that guy and try to find a way to work him into your rotation at this point?
Yeah, good point. One more guy that just came to mind. This is probably more for the Lakers, but, and I know Eric Pincus mentioned this too, your co-host for the Hollywood Hoops podcast. Lance Stephenson is still out there. I had a chance to spend some time with Lance over the offseason, and he was working out at Impact Basketball. I know he had a free agent workout there, alongside Maurice Spates, and Frank Vogel, and I believe Ryan West, who at the time was still with the Lakers. He was in attendance at the workout, along with some other Lakers staffers. So they did look at Lance in the offseason. I don't know if they were just stopping by, if Frank wanted to catch up with Lance, if they were looking at all the other players in attendance as well, but they were there for a Lance Stephenson workout. Is there any chance you could see with the past between Frank Vogel and Lance Stephenson, his past as a Laker, could you see him being an option, or does he just not make very much sense for this team?
I mean, he's a wild card, that's for sure. He's a guy who, in theory, can be a secondary playmaker for you. He can get you buckets from time to time. Obviously, there's a lot more that comes with Lance, but certainly the Lakers are not unfamiliar with him. He was with the team last year, and he shot the ball pretty well, about 37% from three. So I guess he's an option. Is he better than the players that they currently have? Because they would have to make a cut to their roster to make room for another player like Lance or whoever else comes in. Maybe they like him better than Troy Daniels. Sure. Maybe they replace Jared Dudley on the team, since Jared is more of a locker room guy, more of a leadership guy than an actual player for them. But it's tough to really see that from Lance right now. But hey, maybe he'd be their best option after they sort through whoever and whatever's left for them. Either way, the pickings aren't exactly full and ripe for them, for the Lakers, when it comes to finding that guard that they could really use to help keep their offense humming.
We should just make an expansion team with J.R. Smith, Dion Waiters, Lance Stephenson. That would be so much fun for us in the media, for NBA Twitter. That's my suggestion here. But no, in all seriousness, I do think you're right about the chemistry. When Shams Charania was on the podcast last week ahead of the trade deadline, he said that the Lakers were very hesitant to make any moves that would, not only add people to their locker room, but remove any pieces from this locker room because their chemistry is so strong right now, and they feel like that's a huge advantage for them. I've been so amazed with this team all year, the fact that they've been able to have so much success so quickly. And, they obviously added added so many players over the offseason, but you would never know it by how quickly they came out of the gate. And it seems like they've really gelled a lot over the first half of the season. Guys have gotten really close, and I think that continuity could be an advantage for them, especially because their chemistry is so strong. So we'll see what they do. Before we get on to the Warriors and talk a little bit about the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins trade, I do want to ask you this. The Lakers are currently the top seed in the West at 39-12. The Clippers are the 3 seed at 37-16. Which team has a better shot of winning a championship this year as currently constructed?
Whew. Man, that's tough.
Put you on the hot seat.
I mean, it's hard to go against LeBron and AD as your duo, but when you look at the Clippers, they at least have the pieces that you would think as far as what you need to win in the playoffs. They can beat you defensively. They've got great defensive wings. They have guys who can switch in that way. They can be a great defensive team on paper. And offensively, they have a bunch of guys who are shot makers. You have Kawhi Leonard. You have Paul George, Lou Williams. Now you got Marcus Morris. I think Montrezl Harrell is certainly a threat. That's 5 guys on your team who on any given night can get you 20-plus points and can create a shot or create an opportunity in some way. I think obviously with Trez, it's more about attacking the glass and getting opportunities that way. But, you know, him in the pick and roll with Lou Will is super dangerous. And Kawhi and PG are about as good in ISO ball as anyone we've seen, especially in the playoffs. So I think in that way, the Clippers make a lot of sense as sort of the on paper favorite. But man, how are you going to go against LeBron and AD? And certainly all that team is playing for emotionally in the wake of Kobe Bryant's passing and everything that comes with that. It's really tough to see. I don't know, maybe that's just the emotional side of it. I think tactically the Clippers should be the favorite, but there's just something about who the Lakers have and what they're playing for that makes you think that at the end of the day, they're the team that's going to come out on top.
I just hope we get to see Lakers-Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. I think that would be an amazing series. We were NFL fans out there. We were already robbed of Ravens-Chiefs in the Conference Finals in the NFL. Hopefully, we can see Lakers-Clippers because it would be amazing. I do want to ask you this, too. Which team do you think is better situated for the future? We talked about this year, obviously, but Lakers or Clippers, which team do you think is better situated for the long haul?
I mean, they're both kind of screwed, right? Because they both traded tons of picks to get the teams that they have. I think you could argue that the Lakers are slightly better situated because they have, number one, they have Anthony Davis, who is a little bit younger than Kawhi and Paul George. So he's someone who, in theory, should be someone they can build around for a long time, assuming that he returns after this season, whether by opting into the final year of his deal or signing an extension of some sort. And also, Kyle Kuzma is a promising young player who I think has had his issues this season in terms of finding his role and figuring out how he fits in, which is not unusual for talented players on teams with LeBron and another superstar. But when you look at that potential mini nucleus of AD and Kyle Kuzma, that's certainly promising. It's not just, obviously, if you're the Clippers, you have Kawhi, you have Paul George, that's great, but you don't know what's going to happen with Montrezl Harrell this summer. Lou Williams is going to get up there, and Kawhi and PG certainly have their injury issues, and they could both be gone after next season as well. So I think there's a little bit more uncertainty there with the Clippers, but the Lakers, you're talking about LeBron James going into his late 30s too, so it's kind of a toss-up, but as long as the Lakers are able to retain Anthony Davis for the long haul, I think he still has more upside to realize than either of the Clippers stars right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you'd have LeBron passing the torch to AD, and all signs point to him re-signing as of right now. So I think that's probably my pick too, especially with the whole situation with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and their shorter contracts. Had they made that deal and brought those two guys in, they signed long-term deals, longer deals like we saw in Brooklyn, for example, then I'd feel a little bit better about it. But the fact that they could leave so soon after and the Clippers gave up so much to get them, that just kind of scares me a bit. But obviously, we're nitpicking. These two teams are in amazing position going forward. It doesn't get much better than having two elite players that could go off any given night, and they're both in excellent position. But I was just curious there. Let's talk about the Golden State Warriors. Now, they traded D'Angelo Russell to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They got back Andrew Wiggins, and they also got back a top three protected first round pick in 2021, I believe. Do you think Golden State got enough for Russell? We talked about this on our trade deadline recap podcast. I wasn't a fan of the move. I'm not a big Andrew Wiggins fan, so I felt like there was no pressure, no sense of urgency for them to do this deal right now. I think they could have waited until the offseason and maybe offers would improve or more teams would come to the table. So I wasn't a huge fan of this. I thought they could have gotten more for him because at the end of the day, he's a 23-year-old all-star. But I know that there's some people that believe Andrew Wiggins could really develop in Golden State. They've done a good job of getting the most out of their players. Even guys this year that they brought in, like Alec Burks and Willie Cauley-Stein, they were able to develop them and flip them for, some assets. So where do you stand on this deal? Do you think Russell or do you think they got enough for Russell? And then do you think Wiggins is going to be a good fit in Golden State, especially alongside Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green next year?
I think that's what the Warriors are curious to find out. And they must have had a sense at some level that they didn't see a really snug fit for D'Angelo going forward. And D'Angelo had even mentioned at times that, he was learning to play more off the ball, but that wasn't really his strength. And obviously, if you're going to be on a team with Steph and Klay and Draymond, particularly Steph and Draymond, since those are your top playmakers on the Warriors, then you're going to have to get used to playing in a secondary role. And I don't know that D'Angelo really fit that as well. Certainly the timing isn't ideal. Maybe the Warriors could have gotten more, but look, they got what could be a really nice pick that they can use either themselves or as trade bait going into this summer. They'll have one of the top picks most likely in this year's draft, which is probably a little bit weaker compared to what we'll see in 2021. And, people have jumped off the Andrew Wiggins bandwagon pretty quickly, but he's not exactly, he's not exactly an old fart out there, chomping around on the court. Like, he's only a year older, really to the day, or a year older to the day than D'Angelo Russell. They both will be celebrating their birthdays on February 23rd, as it happens. Wiggins is a guy who's averaged better than 20 points per game, in two prior seasons in his NBA career. I think he's a very productive player. And obviously, he hasn't taken full advantage, I would say, of the gifts that he has, but I think there's still a lot of potential there, and that maybe ultimately he was miscast as a number one or even a number two star on a team because he was the number one pick and he came in with all this hype as Maple Jordan and all that. I think in Golden State, he'll have an opportunity to settle in as maybe the third or fourth option, a guy who can, play some defense, hopefully hit some shots, have some big games here and there, but doesn't have to be the guy. And look, the Warriors had a very similar player to Andrew Wiggins before they had Kevin Durant and the guy in Harrison Barnes, and they won a championship and went to the finals again with Harrison Barnes playing alongside their nucleus. So Andrew Wiggins is a younger, I think, version of Harrison Barnes at this point, is a guy who is probably a little bit better overall as a basketball player. Obviously, he's not Kevin Durant, but nobody is Kevin Durant. So I think he can be someone that they can at least evaluate alongside their nucleus down the stretch of this season when Steph comes back, and who knows, maybe Klay will be back at some point.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. Here's my thing on Wiggins. So when I look at Wiggins, sometimes players do perform better when they're in a situation where they could win a championship. If you're losing a lot of games and you're in Minnesota, it can be frustrating and maybe you're not giving it your all. There were a lot of questions about Wiggins not reaching his full potential. So maybe being around the Golden State development staff and being with so many great leaders like Steph, Klay, and Draymond and Steve Kerr, maybe that will give him the boost he needs. And some players, they need that kick, or change of scenery. to realize their full potential. I mean, D'Angelo Russell is a great example of that. We saw that in Brooklyn, and he was kind of humbled by being traded. Wiggins was the number one overall pick who was given this massive contract, even though some people feel he didn't deserve it. And that's always been my thing. So I talked to an executive that, you know, worked closely with Wiggins, and he even said, why would this kid change at this point in his career? He has been the top recruit in the country, the number one draft pick. He had a crazy shoe deal. He had a max contract given to him. And all along, he's been the same person. He hasn't worked very hard. He hasn't had to realize his full potential. And he's never really had to care about basketball 100%. And he's been rewarded for doing that. You know, he's gotten all this money and all these accolades. And why would he change now after all that's been handed to him? And we've all kind of validated his mindset and the way that he's been all along. So when I heard that, I thought, wow, that's actually really interesting. You know, he was handed a starting job. He's been given all these things. So why change now? But maybe being traded and being, you have Minnesota saying, okay, we give up, you know, we're going to give you away. Maybe that is the kick that he needs to kind of snap out of it and say, oh, okay, I need to start being more of a team player. I need to start working harder. And sometimes that comes with maturity too. Sometimes, you know, early on in your career, you're thinking, let me just get as much money as possible, get as many endorsement deals as possible, and show I belong here. And then later on in your career, that's when it's like, oh, wow, I really need to win. And you start focusing on more of the team, what comes first for the team. So I could be wrong. You know, as of right now, I have those doubts about Wiggins just based on what we've seen so far. But maybe in Golden State, we will see that he is more of a team first player, and he does work harder, and he comes closer to realizing his full potential. So I don't know. I do hope we can see that from him. It's just, and I will say too, with that contract, that was something that always scared me with Wiggins, because he has three more years after this one, and he'll be making around $30 million next year, $31.5 million the following year, $33.6 million the year after that. But with Golden State, they already have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green locked up on long-term deals. So I think for other teams that still want to try to find star players and they want that cap flexibility, that's one thing. But for Golden State, I think they're in a situation where they feel like, okay, we already have our stars locked up. We don't really need that cap space. Let's just go ahead and go all in and let's get a guy that we feel fits us. So I do agree that the fit is better with Wiggins than Russell, because like you said, Russell needs the ball in his hands. I think they wanted more of a defensive presence like Wiggins. It's just, can Wiggins be the kind of player that elevates his game and rises to the occasion in Golden State? That's going to be the big question. So we will see what happens from Wiggins. I do want your thoughts on Minnesota. Now they have D'Angelo Russell. I think Carl Anthony Towns is going to be much happier. There was obviously a lot of talk about how he was disgruntled and he's good friends with Russell. They made a lot of moves around the deadline. They traded Robert Covington and they were part of that 12-player trade, the 4-team 12-player trade. So they have a very different looking roster today than they did last week. What do you make of Minnesota's overhaul, and do you think that D'Angelo Russell and Carl Anthony Towns can kind of form a nice 1-2 punch for them going forward?
So before I get to that, just one point on Wiggins. I wouldn't discount the Warriors' ability to flip Andrew again if they find that he's not a great fit and be able to use that contract size to their advantage along with their draft picks that they have, both Minnesota's and their own, if they find some other star player, a distressed asset elsewhere on the market that they could flip all that for. As far as the Timberwolves are concerned, I think, look, this could be a nice pairing between D'Angelo Russell and Carl Anthony Towns. I'm sure it'll be fun. I'm sure they'll put up lots of points. We got to see if they're going to play some defense, but some good vibes and good times I think will help or could help to get that started. And I actually really like some of the other players they got, especially in that big deal that involved the Rockets and the Nuggets. I really like Malik Beasley. I think he's a nice fit on that team as a guy who can shoot and spread the floor for around the D'Angelo Cat pick and roll. You know, Juancho Hernan Gomez, he can shoot a little bit. He brings great energy to the floor. He can get you some rebounds, hustle, and is not a guy that really demands to have the ball in his hands by any means. I think he fits a role really well there. Certainly this will open things up for Jarrett Culver to develop on the wing and get some more touches and some more time. So I think this could work out fairly well for Minnesota, but We've also seen things turn sour in Minnesota in the past with a young big and a young star guard. We saw it with Kevin Garnett and Stephon Marbury that didn't work out so well. There's some obviously some other issues there, and I think you're looking at two legit friends here in D'Angelo and Kat. So hopefully for their sake it works out differently, because it's been a rough decade and a half plus in Minnesota when it comes to basketball.
For sure. I do think it helps that Russell and Kat, they are very close, but they also have a lot of other friends around the league. So that could be interesting to watch as well. There's been talk about, could those two recruit a third friend of theirs? Those two are well liked and have a lot of connections. So we will see. But it's Minnesota. That's kind of the hard thing here. Is a free agent going to go to Minnesota over, a different destination just because they have those friends there? They'll have to be a contending team. They'll have to get to the point where that third player would put them in a spot to really make some noise in the Western Conference. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult for to lure a, third star to Minnesota potentially. But I agree with you. I like Malik Beasley. I like Juan Hernan Gomez. I had a chance to spend some time with those guys when they were going through the pre-draft process, and I've gotten to know them a little bit throughout the course of their career. And both guys are hardworking, really good players, and also really good locker room guys that understand their role. So I think that's really good and important to bring those kind of guys in. So we'll see what happens with Minnesota as well. But this has been so much fun. I appreciate you joining me to break down all of the California teams, or most of the California teams. Josh, thank you so much. What are some things you guys are working on right now at Close Up 360?
Oh, we've always got stuff in the pipe, but right now we've got a piece on Danny Green and his podcast and just his profile off the court that went up recently. We've got some nice video pieces with a couple guys from the Miami Heat, Kendrick Nunn, who folks will see in the Rising Stars game at All-Star Weekend, and then Bam Adebayo, who will be in the main event at All-Star Weekend. So check it out, closeup360.com, CLOSEUP, the number 360.com, on social media at closeup360, and on YouTube at youtube.com/CU360.
Yeah, make sure you guys are checking out the videos and articles they do over at Close Up 360, because they do a fantastic job. And Josh, I know you're a big part of that. You and Jared Swirling are terrific. So make sure you guys check out all of their work. And Josh, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you guys want to listen to more episodes of the Hoopsite podcast, check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere your favorite podcasts are found. And until next time, thanks for listening.